The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. And you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. This is the church's birthday today, which is why we're doing up the Mass with all the smells and bells, quite literally. And I know it's the 7 a.m. Mass crowd, but, you know, church's birthday is only once a year. It's the Feast of Pentecost, and I want to talk just a little bit about what Pentecost is. It's the end of the Easter season. The word Pentecost from the Greek means 50 days. 50 days ago, we celebrated Easter. And 10 days ago, well, in this diocese, it was 7 days ago because the Ascension gets transferred to Sunday. But, you know, as we know, our Lord rose from the dead and then was walking around with his disciples, continuing to teach them, continuing to be with them for 40 days. And then we know that on the 40th day, Ascension Thursday, which again, most dioceses transfer it to Sunday. But on Ascension Thursday, our Lord ascended back to the Father, taking our humanity with him, ascended back to the Father, and told his disciples before he left, anticipating their own fear and their own anxiety, telling them, "Don't be afraid. I have to go. If I don't go, the Father and I cannot send the Holy Spirit." And so our Lord ascended on Ascension Thursday, Sunday, and then 7 days later, after the novena, the original novena, the 9 days of prayer, when the apostles and the Blessed Mother prayed for the coming of the Holy Spirit, those first 9 days of prayer after the Ascension, finally the Holy Spirit comes upon them on Pentecost Sunday, and that's what we celebrate today, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we heard the account of Pentecost in that first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. And just as an aside, Pentecost was already a Jewish feast. Pentecost was 50 days, again, but it was 50 days after Passover. And it had a secular meaning as well, because on the Feast of Pentecost was the wheat harvest. There were 3 different harvests that were also big feast days in the Jewish calendar, and Pentecost was one of them, the wheat harvest, but 50 days after the Passover. And so it says, when the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, meaning when those 50 days had passed and they were beginning to do the wheat harvest, the apostles and the Blessed Mother, the early Christians, were expecting something even greater. They weren't anticipating just the regular old feast of Pentecost and the wheat harvest. They knew, because Christ had told them, that "I will send the Holy Spirit and that you will continue to go out into the world and bear witness to me." And that's what happens. That's what we hear. Suddenly, from the sky, a loud noise, like a strong driving wind, filling the entire place, tongues of fire appearing over the apostles. And they all began to speak in different languages. And the thing that's so beautiful about this, the miracle in this, is all of these people who had come from all over the world to celebrate Pentecost, they all hear the apostles speaking in their own language. And it says, but all of these apostles are all simple Galileans, hardly scholars, hardly academic, simple Galileans, and yet all of these people who had come from all over the world to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. Again, one of those three feasts where if you were able, you were supposed to go to Jerusalem to celebrate. People from all over the world gathered there, and they all hear the apostles, these simple men from Galilee, speaking in their own language through the power of the Holy Spirit. This, brothers and sisters, is the beginning of the church, the birthday of the church, and why we celebrate it as such. You know, the very word church, the Latin word for it, comes from the Greek, ekklesia. And the Greek etymology means an assembly, a sacred assembly, a sacred body of people that is called out. That's the prefix ek, called out. That we are a sacred body of people who have been called out from all over the world. Just like these original people at Pentecost, they had been called out from all over the world, from every tribe and tongue, people, nation, been called out. And they had been set apart to be that body of Christ, to go out into the world with the power of the Holy Spirit and to continue to make Jesus present. One of the things that always boggled my mind in Scripture when Christ says to his disciples, and I've shared this a few times recently, so forgive me if you've heard this already, but it's worth hearing again. But when Christ said to his disciples, "You will do even greater works than me." And we think, wait a minute, how is that even possible? This guy is divine. He's the Son of God. And he's telling us, mere mortals, mere humans, of course our soul is immortal, but you know what I mean, mere humans, that we are going to do greater works than he. How is that possible? And the answer is this, that, well, when Christ was on earth, just like any other human being, because of course he is fully divine, but he's also fully human, and just like any other human being, he is restricted to one place and one time. You know, he was in one place in one time, halfway around the world 2,000 years ago. And I think what our Lord was getting at is, when I send the Holy Spirit, when I ascend back to my Father and the Father and I send the Holy Spirit, then you, through the power of that Holy Spirit, will continue to make me present throughout all spaces and all times. I think that's what our Lord was getting at, that our Lord is now able to do more through us than he was on earth, when he was limited, as his human body limits us, to one place and one time, that we are now able to do more because he has ascended and sent the Holy Spirit upon us. You know, and of course, we look forward to just a few moments, the Eucharistic sacrifice, when Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will be made physically present to us on this altar. And to think, all the different masses going on throughout the world right now, that our Lord is being physically present, made physically present throughout the entire world. And he's been doing this for 2,000 years, through all spaces and throughout all times. And I'll wrap up with this. You know, this season that we're in now, you know, the end of the academic year, we're kind of in the ordination and confirmation season. Our eighth graders were just recently confirmed. I have several friends from the seminary, a few who were just ordained deacons and priests yesterday, and this you know, this end of the academic year, it's always a very exciting time to see these beautiful sacraments conferred, the sacraments of confirmation, the sacraments of holy orders. And what's always struck me about this is that in those sacraments, we see a Pentecostal outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We see a new Pentecost. We see what makes the church always young. As John Paul II said, the church is always young, 2,000 years old, but always young. Because in these sacraments, and something I think that we don't think enough about, in these sacraments, we receive that outpouring of the Holy Spirit that the apostles received. See, Pentecost was not just for those 12 guys 2,000 years ago halfway around the world. Pentecost continues, and it's for all of us. All of us are called to receive the Holy Spirit and to go out into the world, to be called out from all different peoples, to be called out as the church, to be called out and to go out into the world, and to continue to make Christ present. Something that, again, I think we don't think enough about is that Pentecostal outpouring. You know, in the sacrament of confirmation, you received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the ability to go out into the world and to witness. And one of the beautiful ways of looking at confirmation is that it is a type of ordination. That the apostles who were there at the original Pentecost, they received that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Again, it was not just for them. They were called to pass that on. And they have for 2,000 years. The apostles have passed on that sacred power to go out into the world and to continue to make Christ present. And we all receive that in baptism, but we receive it in confirmation. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of confirmation. We are ordained. We receive that Holy Spirit, that power of the Holy Spirit to go out into the world. And this is what I don't think we think enough about, is that you can trace that all the way back to the original 12 apostles. That this is why, for instance, anyone can baptize, but only a priest or bishop can confirm. Because to confirm, you need to have that connection going all the way back to the original 12 apostles. Something with ordination as well, that when I was ordained, I received a laying on of hands from Cardinal Wuerl. He lays his hands on the ordinands, prays over them, asking the Holy Spirit to come upon them. But the nice thing about that is I was ordained by Cardinal Wuerl, who was ordained by someone, who was ordained by someone, who was ordained by someone, going all the way back to the apostles. And when you were confirmed and the bishop laid his hand on you and anointed you with the sacred chrism, you've received a similar laying on of hands, tracing all the way back. That original Pentecost that happened 2,000 years ago halfway around the world happened to you at your confirmation, giving you the ability to go out into the world and witness. Happened to me at my ordination, giving me the ability to call down the Holy Spirit upon simple bread and wine and for it to become the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let's rejoice today in the great gift of the Holy Spirit that we have all received in confirmation. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to continue to guide us, to continue to give us the strength, the courage that we need to be that community who is called out to go into the world and to continue to make Jesus Christ present.